You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I think he's the philosopher of football.
It's great that everyone can give their opinion.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Find me. Find me. I don't care anymore. So drain my bank account.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Ah, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS Studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Susanna Collins, David Goss, Kaylin Carr. It's our funnest, most fun?
Oh, I like this squad. I don't know.
Whatever. This squad is a good squad.
I like this squad.
You came on hot with an incorrect English word in the funnest.
Yeah, right there. The grammar. That's
this
what
is my most
is
funnest
yeah.
time.
I didn't say most funnest. I knew that would be incorrect. Thanks for coming, guys, for joining us.
Oh, we're happy to be here.
Yeah. Love it, love it.
So it's we have a big show. Leagues Cup, the tournament you all know and love. Josh Wolf to Austin. We will talk about that. They have their first head coach like 15 months before they're even going to hit the training field. They also don't have a GM. That's a question mark. Favorite story of the 2019 season. We'll talk Atlanta LAFC, of course, and the mailbag. But first, of course, because we have the most time now, we don't want to get bogged down in this later. Tee it up right.
Oh, tee it up with some respect.
Listen, let me host this. We are so excited. One of the greatest pieces of content that's ever come out of MLSsoccer.com is coming out today.
Dropping
today.
Hot it's fire.
The movement out about orcas in Seattle.
About saving the environment. Producer, director, all-around renaissance man, Kaylin Carr is here.
You're like the Ben Affleck of the movement.
Also, can we talk about the shirt he's wearing, too? It just all goes.
Yeah, the human.
It all goes. Is that recycled material?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's old tennis balls, actually. Old tennis balls dyed pink.
Is it fleece?
Terry.
Cloth.
Oh, is it warm or is it breathable here?
Guys, let's get back to the orcas. We've only got 74 left in the Puget Sound right now.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's down 20 over the last 20 years right now. At one point, there was over 200 in that area. This is a specific type of orca, by the way, not any type, protected under the 1973 Environmental Protection Act that is very important.
So what's the movement about? Is it just orcas? Because I'm as devastated and very seriously
yes,
saying
can
this.
We
You've
just,
been joking?
We have been that hearing is, about the orca content
that is,
for
We have, but that
weeks.
Is not good.
Well,
that population drop, that's scary stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, one did come back, and that was really the reason why I went there.
Okay.
Sammy the Sounder.
Oh.
Yes.
Familiar.
Seattle Sounders brought him back as an environmental mascot, which gave me a little bit of license to go there. But look, I'm a little bit nervous because I'm worried when sort of the powers that be see what I have produced. It's different. It's different.
Okay.
I was out on the water, 4.5 hour orca searching. I went to the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association. I was going through orca bones. Like I was deep.
There
I went really deep.
There were a lot
really
of
deep.
Acronyms
can
in
I,
everything that you
can
were
I
doing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How much soccer is in this episode?
There is some soccer.
There is? Okay.
Yeah, there's some soccer.
What's
yeah.
the connection that the Sounders brought?
Oh, well, the
back?
Cool thing, this is the real reason. So the Sounders are the first professional soccer team in North America to go carbon neutral. So that was the real reason why we went there.
Yep.
Yeah, which is awesome. So they have this whole carbon offset program, which is fixing the streams that go through the Starfire Sounders complex. But then as a part of that, that will create some salmon, which will eventually help the orcas survive. So it's a windy river. You got to take the path, take the journey with me. And it is a little bit different. But I will say one cool story that I did that happened while I was there. There's a little girl that I met through a family friend who is a soccer player. She likes the Sounders. She likes the rain. And she had been kind of bullied online a little bit and had been told to get back in the kitchen, I guess, was what she had told me.
Oh,
and I was like, geez. This is messed up because she had been speaking out on behalf of the orcas as
right.
well. And so I was like, you know what? I want to try and like, do something for this girl that would be really cool. And so I hit up Servando, who hit up Alex Morgan, and Morgan hit up Pino, and then Ali Long, and it got in the group chat of this girl's story. And then Megan ended up sending a video of like support for the girl. Not to spoil the episode, but
nice.
That's the end. But watch, you got to stick it out.
YouTube, MLSsoccer.com.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah, definitely check it out.
Okay.
This is why the greenest skies you've ever seen are in Seattle and the bluest hills you've ever seen are in Seattle. That's why, right?
That's
there.
True. Love I'm it. Looking forward to it. I will watch with my kid on Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If this gets edited out of ETR, I understand also.
Okay.
Thank you.
Producer Anders, make a live decision on that right now. Let's talk League's Cup.
Oh, he's going to put it in. It's Seattle.
Yeah. Good point.
If you had talked about just downtown Seattle for 20 minutes, it would have been in the show.
By the way, Alex Morgan enjoys her some League's Cup and popcorn. Come to find out, who doesn't enjoy
good
popcorn?
Good for her, man.
Yeah. Have a night
give
out.
Give her like a cheap month, you know? Jeez Louise.
I feel like we've all been doing that. Eat all the watching popcorn. Her for the longest.
Also, slather it in butter.
Also, when you're a peak athlete, don't you just need the calories to like offset?
Yeah.
Well, you already told us the Wendy's story.
What was that? Oh, my nutrition plan.
But like, didn't Michael Phelps drop like 3 pizzas a day when he was like in peak training?
Yeah. So I'm trying to cut back on that.
Yeah, she's doing fine.
It's a hard, habit to break.
That was one highlight from League's Cup. The other highlights, of course, I actually think the games were much, much better than maybe anybody expected. Liga MX came out and played basically their first teams. MLS went with a mix. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Veljkopanovic had some interesting comments after the Fire lost to Cruz Azul. But if we're sticking with the offbeat, James Harden was in Houston for Dynamo Club America. This one went to penalty kicks. Giovanni Dos Santos scored the winning penalty. Run DMB, DeMarcus Beasley had a throwback goal. It was actually a fun game, and Houston didn't have all of their best players. But James Harden was dancing and flexing, letting everyone know that if you hate on League's Cup, you're in the wrong. You're just on the wrong side of history. At least that's what I just feel like from that.
Listen, I don't know how big of a MLS fan James Harden is.
He's an owner.
If you bring someone in and their first game is against Club America League's Cup, it's a little different than MLS. He's going to come next time and be like, where's all the Mexico fans and why is the other team from America? And you'll be like, well, that's like what we normally do.
He is an owner, though, so I would like to think that he has been educated or has educated himself on.
He's pumped about it
on MLS, exactly. So let's give James Harden some credit.
Absolutely, let's give the cat on the field at Rio Tinto some credit for his evasive ability. You cannot get 50-50. He wins all of them because you just can't get on him.
That cat almost hit me.
Really? You were on a red eye.
It was the end of the game, so I was standing behind the Tigres bench trying to figure out who I was going to interview. And talking to people at around different organizations, and then all of a sudden it came flying out from the tunnel, which is like means it was inside.
Right.
I don't know where the cat was.
That's like a flash. People always say when you're on the like sidelines, seeing elite athletes up close and in person is much more impressive. So what was it like to see the cat from that vantage point? Because Andre Pierre Gignac should have played the through ball.
Okay.
He's streaking toward goal.
But can we talk about Gignac literally not reacting? He was like, I think I can score. I'm going to use this cat to score.
Does that happen in Mexico? Does that happen in Mexico a lot?
It probably has happened.
Yeah.
Doyle was so pumped up. And it's funny. He was like, I don't think it's a house cat. That does. If you look at the markings, it doesn't look like an outdoor kind of mangy
feline,
cat. It reminded me of when I was in Manchester and Zlatan saw the lion and was like, it's paws. It's old one. It's an old boy. Yeah. I was like, but Doyle's version was like, he had it all broken down, and like the camera operator cut away from it, and he was furious. He was like, go back to the cat. I was like, wow.
He's a cat person.
Well, it was jacked.
So those were some highlights. I enjoyed all of those. Let's just get back to the soccer, though. First impressions of the tournament. What'd you think? 4 games, only the LA Galaxy advance. I thought RSL and Houston really did stand toe-to-toe with Club America and Tigres. The Fire weren't awful, but Cruz Azul were clearly better. What'd you think? Is it entertaining? Is it just kind of like a meh from you?
Well, I was there, so I had fun. I saw 2 good games. I saw 2 of the best teams in the region put out their best teams, and then it was a good environment in Dignity Health Sports Park.
You said
that's
that,
the
man.
One. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. It was a great environment, and so that was fun. It was like fun to be a part of. The Cholos fans came in, and they were shirts off, smoke bombs, partying, and the Galaxy fans were chanting against them, and everyone's into it, having a good time. And then last night, Salt Lake Tigres, like, I've never seen most of those players play in person. You know, I was like 10 feet away when Gignac came on the field, and I was like taking pictures.
Yeah,
I'm out myself right now and saying that's the first time I've ever done that. And you look at like Ener Valencia going up against Justin Glad and all that stuff, and I agree. I think RSL put out a strong team. It was a fun game. Like, there was possession both ways. There's opportunities both ways. So from a soccer point of view, I enjoyed it so far. And PK shootouts are like always crazy.
Yeah, actually, I enjoyed that.
So
Lampson,
I had not saved
one in MLS before. He saved 3 against Tijuana. He is the hero of this event so far because honestly, the whole point is MLS Liga MX, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
That's
so
it. That's what
that's
what I
literally
need.
The origin of all of
it. And that's why I want to see the Galaxy continue forward, because if it's a Liga MX, Liga MX final, I think that's going to be disappointing. You want to see, say, probably Galaxy Club America, because then you get to see Gio against the Galaxy, that against his brother, potentially like that in Vegas. That just feels right for this tournament. And for me, I think it's shown some potential. And I always like, I think we all enjoy the Liga MX versus MLS matches. It's just an intriguing proposition to begin with. And for the atmosphere is always ratcheted up. And whenever I played in sort of an earlier version of this, or sort of, I don't know if you would call it that, but
Super League. We all know what it is. Just call it the Super League.
Yeah, the Super League.
Just name drop it.
Yeah. And like playing those matches, it had that atmosphere. Even when you're in Chicago, you'd have fans from mostly supporting the Mexican team. Houston scored, and they were like, it's almost like shushing their crowd in the stadium.
Yeah. Well, DeMarcus Beasley scored, and he had some things thrown at him, which we never, ever condone. But that kind of told you what was going on.
But it's, and we saw all the weird things, too, and all the memes and the GIFs and the dancing and the cats and all that. So
Araujo got two yellow cards and no one noticed for
Vegas,
a solid 30 seconds.
Vegas will be a good final for that, a good venue for the weirdness. And I think that's sort of the part of CCL people have latched onto, is the crazy things that happens and the drama. I think eventually the competitive nature will kick in more, especially when it's based on who has qualified for the tournament next year. So I think that part will only continue to grow. But I've seen the potential.
Oh, can I throw a real quick favorite moment so far, by the way? It was Tuca Ferretti in a press conference complaining that he thought that the competition was unfair. One, because they don't get to play a home game. And two, because it was too early in their season.
Mm.
I would like you, sir, to watch a CCL match and tell us where the MLS team is. Welcome to the world, Tuca Ferretti. Although, guy's a legend.
He is a legend.
He got hit with a sprinkler pregame, sitting on the bench, and it was the loudest the crowd was the entire game. Everyone flipped out. It was great stuff.
Leagues Cup, everybody. I really enjoyed the first two nights. But what'd you make, Susanna, of the approach from Major League Soccer? Because I said it, Liga MX had... they had a lot of first teams. Like, it was like Tijuana didn't change of face.
Well, I think it was good to see that. I think that MLS teams, it might kind of raise the stature in their eyes to see that these Liga MX teams did put out their first teams. And, you know, it's year one of this tournament. And I think Craig Weibel said something that was so spot on to me, just hearing his quotes. And he was like, we don't know what this is yet. And I think as a fan, that's still kind of where I'm at. I'm still figuring out, you know, is this the games were compelling and they were exciting, and that is certainly promising. But, you know, you want this, the hope is that this becomes like a very coveted trophy, and that teams really put their best teams out for it. And I love the fact that Liga MX did that. I really want MLS teams to follow suit. I know it's a difficult point in the season to do that. Everybody's tired. There's so many games to play. You've got, you know, playoff implications starting to trickle into the picture. So the hope is that this becomes a premier event, and that the clubs, MLS clubs, take this seriously and put their first teams out, because we didn't see that. And to be honest, it was kind of a bummer. From a spectator standpoint, I would have wanted to see the first teams out there.
You want to see Basti. You want to see DJ
exactly.
Sipon, and they played in that game
exactly
with the Fire too.
So that's my hope for moving forward, is that, you know, this kind of set a precedent. And good on Liga MX for putting out your first teams.
Veljko Panovic, after this game, a 2-0 loss to Cruz Azul at home, said that his squad deserved more respect, said that he had to do this. Basically, we're trying to put the best available players on the field. This is the best lineup we could assemble for today. I mean, you could question him on that, because Bastian came off the bench and so did CJ Sapong, and both those guys you would think in the lineup would be your best team. But I get it. They're trying to find a way to get out of the basement. I just look at Liga MX and, like, they have playoffs too, and they have a shorter season with less room for error.
Disagree.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Tigres knows that they can cruise for the next
Tigres,
2 months and
Tigres
still win
is
the
a
title.
Good point. Club Tijuana, different story.
Maybe. But they also...
Cruz Azul, different story because
Club Tijuana is an odd specific story, because this is what they want. They want to be the Liga MX team that everyone in America goes and roots for and watches, and therefore playing LA in LA was exactly what they want. Like, that, their entire purpose as a club is to dominate that region and then dominate the rest of the country, including pulling players and talent as well as fans. So for them, it was perfect. But for Cruz Azul, America, and Tigres, let's be real. They're going to make the playoffs. They know that they're going to make the playoffs.
You have more confidence in Cruz Azul than I do.
That's
fair. Their history. America, Tigres, I will grant you that. But I also like the way that clubs from Mexico who are under pressure. These coaches, it's more volatile for the coaches, the players, everybody. Put some good teams out there. So one MLS team remains. It's the LA Galaxy. The semifinals are in LA and Houston on August 20th, the final.
Can we hope that Matias Almeida gets in this tournament?
Oh, he wants in.
Why isn't he?
He wants in. He just said it.
Guys, does that mean he has to lose? Because if he qualifies for CCL, he doesn't get in.
Well, now
I guess he'll just take
CCL. That's the beauty of it now,
right?
We got a double dip.
Sure, we
have double the odds of getting Matias Almeida in San Jose. And Miguel Herrera, by the way, maybe he could do it the other way around. He's in Leagues Cup on the Liga MX side. Maybe he could do MLS. He says, the truth is that I don't know. Maybe in the future I can be here. You know,
guys,
the truth
Miguel
is
Herrera.
That I don't know. Maybe in the future I will be a millionaire.
Miguel Herrera is such a salesman.
He is.
He's just out here. I don't know. Does anyone have a couple $1 million? Just call me. Not sure.
Not sure what Josh Wolf is getting paid in Austin, but he is the first head coach of that expansion team. They will start play in Major League Soccer in 2021.
No state taxes.
Really?
Texas, yeah.
Oh.
Kalen says wistfully.
Oh, Dynamo. Ooh,
good news for the accountant, huh?
Did I get a raise?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, why am I living? Why do I live here? That's a good piece of information there. Anthony Precourt and everyone in this organization knows Josh Wolf really well. He had a 5-year tryout for this position as the assistant to Greg Berhalter in Columbus. Berhalter gave him a lot of kind of free rein, according to a lot of people I talked to. Like, he would do team talks, he would run sessions. He had a pretty big role there, and of course, he's been with the national team.
And remember, Berhalter was GM as well.
Yeah.
So Josh Wolf was a lot.
Big part of that. And right now he's scouting CONCACAF for the U.S. national team. So he ought to know the region as well. This is his first job, though. He's 42 years old. He's been an assistant, put his time in for 7-8 years, started with DC United under Ben Olsen, then went to Columbus. I did the research here back to 2005, I think it is, the age of expansion for Major League Soccer. There are 16 hires. Wolf is the 17th initial hires for expansion teams. I would qualify 3 of those as objectively successful. Those 3, Bob Bradley, Tata Martino, and Siggy Schmidt, all of them decades of experience as professional head coaches.
Yeah.
All of them had front offices, with their help, of course, that made good use of the blank slate that expansion teams get and made good on their big signings, got the depth and middle of the roster right, and created a culture and kind of matched their coach's personality. All of those guys were not hired, I don't believe, before the GM was hired. That's the case here. Josh Wolf is in before there's a GM, and normally you would think the GMs would want to make that decision or at least have influence upon that decision. We'll see how much that matters. But if you look through the rest of these first-time hires for expansion teams, it's not good. it's pretty ugly. The most recently, of course, is Alan Koch, and he lasted 11 games. The first one was Thomas Rongen at Chivas USA. He lasted 10 games. And in between there, it's basically 2.5 seasons or less for pretty much everybody else. And a lot of one-season runs for these teams. And then the reset button being hit. I think it's a good hire. I think it's a logical hire. I do think it's a hire with some risk. I think Josh Wolf, the coach, is probably good enough to do this. It's a really big challenge. I just think if they don't hit on the GM, he's going to be in a tough spot.
I agree with you, of course. But I think that the way that this is going to come together is it's going to be similar to what we're seeing FC Cincinnati build right now, which is a GM who's bigger picture, more international. I think Josh Wolf is going to be the CONCACAF domestic side. And so it's like you knew you were going to have those two halves of the brain anyway, and you wanted Josh Wolf as your coach, so why wait and why not put him together? But I imagine that's how it's going to net out, as a guy at GM who has more international ties, can bring in those bigger players. Probably in Austin, Texas, you want someone who has connections in Mexico specifically to bring players from there and to try and draw that fan base as well. So I would assume that that's kind of how this all nets out in the end, and therefore it's fine. And also, I don't think there's ever been an expansion team with more familiarity with the coach they're bringing in than this one. So they wanted him. He was the guy. I'm pretty sure he wanted to coach the U.S. national team for a little while. They gave him the opportunity when they didn't have anything else to do to work under Greg Berhalter more and do this and then bring him in. I think it's a huge risk because he's never coached before, and you're trying to build an expansion team, as you said, how hard it is. But whoever the coach is doesn't change that. So if you believe that that's your guy, then you got to take the risk. And every other team in MLS wants to interview this guy, has interviewed this guy when they've had openings, wants to hire him. So you couldn't really wait around that long.
Colorado was the most recent to do so. Apparently a candidate at Dallas and Columbus. Any thoughts I mean, we kind of put it out there. There's risk here.
I'm throwing my hands up on this one. I don't know. I mean,
That's a good point.
Literally don't know. I mean, it could work out splendidly. It could be a train wreck. And that's the honesty right now. We're, you know, how far away are they from entering the league? They don't have a GM. We don't know what kind of players they're going to go after. For me, it's like, you know, as Goss said, they had their guy. They knew that they wanted him. But until I see more pieces come together, I'm literally just doing this because I have literally no idea how this will work out.
15 months. I mean, it's a long time. He's got 4 months more with the U.S. national team and his assistant. He will focus on those duties. He told Charlie Davies and I in a conversation you can find at MLSsoccer.com. And then he moves his family to Austin and figures it out from there.
Well, Josh Wolf is one of my favorite MLS players ever.
Aww.
Just as a player, he was fantastic. Him watching him with the Fire when he was there and then playing against him when he was with Kansas City. Him and Eddie Johnson up front were incredible together. But anyways, I've from guys I know that have played for him in Columbus, everybody has really respected him and his attention to detail. And when we look at the profile of coaches, sometimes, yeah, I know he's a young coach, but he has kind of taken the longer path as far as really, I guess, like working his way up.
Put in his time,
yeah,
for sure.
And I think of like Chris Armas a similar way where he maybe could have before you would have seen Ben Olsen and Jason Christ and some of these guys go straight into a coaching position. And I think they learned as time went on and will tell you that, whereas this next crop has been able to kind of really take their time and learn their craft and work their way up. Now he has the international experience as well. You see coaching trees always in MLS develop, whether it's Bob Bradley and then it goes to Bruce Arena and all that family of people that have kind of come from there. And I think you're starting to see one develop usually from the men's national team coach where it's coming from Berhalter and Josh has a good opportunity to kind of carry that forward. So I think overall, he has a really good opportunity. The one part I don't like, and this is to your point, is the idea that the GM and the head coach, those hires are not in sync, not at the same time. And where I've seen teams get in trouble and where I've played for teams that have been in trouble is where there's a little bit of a checking your shoulder between the technical director or the GM and the head coach over, do you have my back? Do you not have my back? Who's playing? What signings are we making? Who has control here? I don't know if Josh is going to be able to have the clout right away to say all signings, everything goes through me, especially we'll see who they hire. But that's the one part that worries me there.
Yeah, he's the first. And so if you're a GM, you might have to look at that and say, where do I stand in this? And that's up to whoever the candidates are. And Anthony Precourt says they are interviewing people and the ownership group and Precourt to decide and figure out. The other thing I will say, you mentioned the people you talked to. Everyone I talked to about him basically said he's a great communicator. He's a great guy, and he teaches the game really well. And I think anybody, whether it's me, whether it's like your sibling, whether it's you, your manager, teaching and communication are the two most important things. And I'm not talking about manager in soccer. I'm talking about whether you have a boss, whether you are working with somebody, whatever. If he can do all that in an expansion environment where you have to figure it out on the run and build something from scratch, that may be really good. But you're right. There has to be synergy between he and the GM. Because if they don't have the players, then they're going to be hosed. Like, and you know, like LA FC had the players.
Yeah, but
Atlanta had the players.
Well, let's
FC
be honest.
Cincinnati
though.
Didn't have the players. They didn't have the cohesion.
But let's be honest.
Squad building. Same with Minnesota. Same with Orlando. Same with NYCFC. They all hit the reset button super quick.
Greg Berhalter squeezed more out of a roster than other coaches are capable of in Major League Soccer. And if they believe Josh Wolf is from that tree, was a major part of that, then yes, I agree with you on the players. But LAFC, while they spent, Bob Bradley has gotten a ton out of guys that no one cared about and no one really wanted that came in under the radar, right? So if you have a coach that you believe in on that next level and can do things that are different, or at least you can identify other types of talent so you can get them more reasonably, players that other people aren't looking at because you want something more specific than them, or Josh Wolf has a different idea, it gives you a pretty big advantage going in right off the bat. Because when you look at LAFC and the way they like handled the expansion draft and went out and got players, and Tyler Miller's like an all-star goalkeeper, and he was a backup in Seattle, right?
Lakeith because Blessing, yeah.
Exactly, because specifically
Mark-Anthony Kay.
Specifically it fit. So if that's because they already know Josh Wolf and have seen him work for these 5 years, if that's what they're getting, that makes
it a
little
easier. By the way, they also signed Carlos Vela, too.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't disagree. They spent money on players for sure.
Walker
they
got everything was just the right. Best 11 defender that they swapped for $400K
We're yet to see what mold at Austin is going to take it and how much they're willing to invest in it.
Yeah, the thing is, we knew that Bob could balance all of that. He'd done it. at a lot of different places in a lot of different sorts of situations. So we knew, like, it was possible. He has it on his resume. Josh Wolf does not yet have it on his resume. Mm-hmm. He has the opportunity. But if you're Wolf, this is perfect, man. You have an owner that believes in you, that's putting himself out there for you, that's saying, you're my guy, come in, and you get to build a soccer environment from scratch. Like, most coaches never, ever get that opportunity. So to have it in your first run, I mean, I would be chomping at the bit, too, if I was him. But this is my job. I'm taking this. This is
going to
be awesome.
Jason Christ left his job for this opportunity. Like, this was his dream opportunity
yeah.
for a guy who'd won a MLS Cup, because no one gets to do this
mm-hmm.
in the world. That was Bob's point as well, right? Like, there aren't expansion teams in other countries, so.
I just think there's a coolness factor, too, with this hire. Austin's such a cool city,
yeah.
you know? It's,
of,
like,
yeah.
hip, and, like, we've got this cool young coach.
Yeah, he's got the hair.
Like,
got the flow. Yeah, got
and I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's sort of, like,
good looking.
Purely aesthetics. I was like, yep, that's exactly what I expected from Austin.
Anybody have any GM candidates they would throw out there? Anybody you might think about as you go through this process? Can I throw one out?
Yeah.
It seems to me like Anthony Precourt is more than happy to kind of buck trends and give people opportunities that they haven't had before. If you're looking around the league, Will Kuntz, who you may not know his name, but he's currently at LAFC. He was at the league office before that. I think he worked for the Yankees before that. He's got a really diverse background, has a lot of different sort of expertise, has seen the game through a lot of different lenses in the U.S. and helped build LAFC. He would be sort of a like, hey, it's not a reach because most people I talk to think he's really talented. But he would sort of match like almost the startup personality that I kind of feel like Austin FC and every expansion team, but Austin in particular seems to have.
The other one would be they've proven that they value people that work for them under the crew. Pat Onstad going back to Texas.
He said they're not going to go get Berhalter's staff, but I guess Onstad could be a possibility.
He was operating as GM.
Yeah, he just signed with the crew here to do that job permanently.
Oh, contracts don't mean anything.
That's true.
Get out of here.
That's true.
I'm a free agent. All right. Come and get me.
All right. Let's keep it moving. Let us know what you think about Josh Wolf and Austin. It's definitely an exciting hire, but there are some real question marks about this one. 401-206-0MLS, extratime@MLSsoccer.com. Austin fans, otherwise, let us know what you think about this. Let's go around MLS ahead of week 21. Yeah, I'm catching myself up on that, being gone for a while. Just I'm missing it. No Zlatan. Oh, no, there is Zlatan. He's not suspended. Not suspended. Mohamed El-Munir has he had surgery or he's going to have
Friday,
surgery?
Tomorrow.
You may have seen the pictures on Twitter. Amr Tarik put those out. He was really banging the drum for his boy. Like an indentation in the side of his head, a facial bone.
What did Instant Replay say on this?
Instant Replay said, I was the only one that said anything.
Oh, got it.
We missed it. I think it was a red card. I'm not sure that it's one that you could suspend him for. But I think in the moment, I'm all about player safety. I think he knew what he was doing. I think he accelerated the elbow, and it's right into the head. Like, at some point, you just have to, I don't know. I think he knew. He glanced, he came over, he got him. He wasn't really close to the ball. I can definitely see that people could say, well, this is more of an instance of using his arm as a tool because he's going up the challenge as opposed to a weapon because he didn't clinch and throw. But I think I thought he hit it pretty well.
Do you think there's a single thing that happens on a soccer field at this age for Zlatan that he doesn't know what's going on?
That's a fair question.
Yeah. The guy's one of the greatest players in world history. He's 37. Did I just get that right?
I think he is.
Yeah, close. Something like that. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he knows everything he's doing. Guy's been playing professional soccer for 20 years, and he's giant. So he knows when he goes up off a center back for a header that his elbows are up, you know, amongst everyone else's face, blah, blah, blah. I think that it was dangerous. I agree with everything Weeby said, which is awkward for me. It feels uncomfortable, but I'm just going to go with that right here.
You had an awkward look on your face, Kalen. A little bit of I don't know.
Well, I mean, first, I've gotten to know Mo a little bit, so I'm feeling
so
for
unbiased.
Him. For sure. Yeah, I think I am biased in this situation. And I think, I don't know if this is fair to speculate, probably not. But I think there's an element to Zlatan's game in general where he plays right on that edge and he wants to intimidate the other team. He wants to intimidate other players. And when he's allowed to do this, and this has happened, I think this isn't the first time I've seen him. I remember, I think, against Aaron Long in the Red Bull game, hit him a couple times. I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's going to stop and take the message unless he has to suffer the consequences. And this was a red card for me at the time. I understand that according to the rules, I believe, it has to be a unanimous decision by the disciplinary committee.
Yeah, that's correct, for the suspension.
And because it was a yellow card, it would need to be two matches as opposed to one. So you couldn't just say, oh, it should have been a red card. He's out a match.
You're basically at that point saying that you need to have intent,
right?
I think. Like true intent and true sort of like almost violent play in that sense. And I actually don't know that you can go quite that far. I think it's a red card in the moment, but I'm not sure that I could sit back and say, like, I agree with you that Zlatan knows what he's doing. Like, you don't score the goals he does and do the things he does without having control of your body and understanding of the players and the situation around you. But I'm not sure I could sit there and say, like, he for sure was trying to chuck his elbow into this guy's head with the point.
Does the level of injury affect the punishment in this case?
I would have said red card regardless of knowing what happened with the injury, but I think the injury obviously turns it into a much bigger story. And it obviously there's impact there that doesn't happen in some other plays where you're like, okay, that guy's okay. It hurts. Like,
this guy broke his skull.
There's real impact. There's a facial fracture.
I mean, Goss hit the nail on the head for me. I think that everything Zlatan does is so calculated. He knows exactly what he can get away with. And in some ways, I mean, and I'm going to use this term, I'll probably get roasted for it, but like, he's a bully, you know? I mean, like, he is a bully when he steps onto that field and he has his mind tricks that he plays, and he wants to get into guys' heads. And this is until, you know, he does, to Kalen's point, like, gets punished for it, has to pay the consequences for it. He's gonna keep doing it, and he's gonna keep using it as fuel. Like, this is how Zlatan operates on a spectrum that I will never ever understand. I don't think any of us will, but I just know that when you are that big of a, I'll say it, like a narcissist, and you have that inflated of a self-image of yourself, like, he thinks he can get away with anything. He literally thinks he can get away with anything, and he will.
Yeah, right.
And he will, and he does. And so I think that watching it back and obviously seeing the severity of the injury, this was 100% a straight red in my eyes. And I do think that there should be responsibility that, you know, you should get punished for this. I don't want to ask the question if it was any other person than Zlatan, would this be the same outcome? I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, well, in the moment it's tough though.
So you asked about the injury. I want to ask you, because you played with, like, I think of Brian Ching, right? His job was physicality. So, like, his job on the field is to engage in physicality and do things, probably never with the intent to hurt someone or hurt someone to this extent. And, like, you wouldn't, when you watch, and that's how I feel with Zlatan, where it's like, he's trying to bully, he's trying to intimidate, he's trying to be physical, but I don't think the intent is to severely injure someone, and I'm assuming as a player, you can see that line.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he's actually trying to, like, damage
an orbital bone.
But at the same time, I go back to it, I don't think we've ever seen somebody with the physical capabilities of Zlatan Ibrahimovic in MLS. Like,
interesting.
And I don't know if we've seen it really in world football ever. I mean, just the sheer size of him, and then you add in this other component where it's like, you, as a striker, you're usually worried of the center back doing damage. And it's completely flipped on its head, where center backs are having to worry about Zlatan, which he wants you to, because then when it goes to the back post and he's getting across in the box, you're not only thinking about heading the ball, you're worried about an elbow, you're worried about whatever might come into you. So it's like something we've never seen before, and it does present a unique challenge for referees to legislate. I don't really, to some degree, I think, yes, it does fall on the players as well, but players are always going to look for that edge. You're always going to look for a mental edge, a physical edge, the fear factor. That's a part of the game. It's up to the referees to draw the line and say, that's too much, that's not enough, or that's okay. And this one, I think it's a red card to begin with, and partly because it's hard to legislate that way, but when you see this happen, it's not the first time.
Would you say clear and obvious error that it's not a red card called in the moment? Because I'm actually not sure that I could go that far. Because part of the complication here is that it goes into disco and it has a certain element, as you explained, a certain threshold that it has to cross. So if it's not called that way in the game situation, you're in a sort of different place with it, right? Like, would it have been for you as a video assistant referee in the booth saying, that's clearly a red card, we missed it, go back and give it?
I think so.
Yeah.
When I look at it and I see him check once, check twice, takes two looks to see where the player is. He doesn't cock it. It's his hand is open. It's not even a closed fist. He doesn't throw the elbow. But when I look and I see one check, two checks, to me, you know where the player is. You're twice his size. I don't think he's going up to protect himself. I think he's going to search for contact there. That was my interpretation of it. But I do understand that it isn't necessarily.
It's not.
It has to be clear and obvious, right?
Completely cut and dry. And I've seen a bunch of people say I actually don't think this is a red card. In fact, producer Rich, who has actually refereed games on a soccer field, whereas I just yell about referee calls on the internet. He said, I think that's a yellow. So, look, I can understand
how people
see that. Would
there have been as much outrage
me,
if they had? Like, if they had called it a straight red, would this still be as big of a debate?
I don't think so.
Because
I don't think you could watch it and know the injury comes out after and be up in arms that it got called. The one thing I'd say at the end is we've also seen, I think that this is Latan and who he's been his whole career, but we've seen star players in MLS feel the need to step out at times and maybe protect themselves. We saw Beckham do it when he first came in the league. We've seen other players do it. Blanco did whatever he wanted to do, so it didn't even matter. But we've seen players, they're put on a pedestal. They know that the game plan is around them. I'm not saying they're targeted, but they know that everyone walks on the field and knows where they are. And we've seen what happened to Vela over the last few weeks and those things. So I think there's an element of that with Zlatan is turning that center backs into his back around and being like, I'm the physical imposing person, which I think star players in Major League Soccer a lot of times have felt the need to do.
What do you think? Let us know. This is going to be a story.
And
now,
I was like, we're not going to go into that. I'm going to leave this one alone. And next thing you know, it's like,
I know. Next thing you know, we got like 15 minutes in on it. I mean, it's an interesting topic. It splits people and it, you know, it matters. It matters.
It means that he gets to play against Portland.
But it's also
Galaxy
just
Portland.
Mo feels, you know, it gets better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Thoughts go out to, I'm here. All right, let's talk Vancouver Whitecaps. It's not exactly a that face you just made, Dave, if you're watching on YouTube and you saw that. That pretty much explains what's going down. The Calvary, CPL, first meeting, knocked them out of the Canadian Championship. Vancouver Whitecaps done, 2-1 loss for them afterwards in what is his first year as a head coach. Mark Dos Santos had some interesting things to say. Basically, there's a couple things we could try to get a reaction, maybe new blood. They've had a lot of new blood. They basically turned this whole thing over in the offseason. He went on to say that nothing is guaranteed in football. Nothing is guaranteed. That's basically talking about the guys that are in the lineup right now. He's very motivated for Minnesota this weekend, but he doesn't know who among his team are motivated. He went and said, it's not recreational soccer where you need to motivate the kid to play. This is professional soccer. When a head coach is saying things like that, that's not good. Generally means things are going very badly.
Yes.
Which they are.
Yeah, and it's been tough. And this is a coach who's won everywhere he's gone quickly. Like, that's his MO. And not saying that it's on him, but I think when you hear that frustration, for him it's confusing. Because every time he's gone somewhere, he's been, even times when it's expansion teams and he puts it together on the fly, he's been able to get success out of his teams. And one of the things he's always done is had well-structured teams that don't give up soft goals, that make the game hard for opponents. And I think he's had that for large stretches of this season. He's had tough injuries at center back and then the international call-ups. Like, I think Godoy and Henry together is the good center back pairing that he likes, but he's had to play Andy Rose in there. He's had to move guys in at fullback as well, and it's been not easy for them. But I think the one thing is, we see in this league, you got to spend money in the attack. You're not going to get goals by trying to wring it out. Peter Vermes has shown that he is probably the best we have in this league in terms of coaching and team building, and he still struggles to get production out of guys who maybe aren't the highest value players. And so for Mark Dos Santos, there's only so much he can do, and he's trying to get a response now, but it's tough once the tailspin begins.
This whole thing worries me because we've seen this before when coaches start calling out their players and their lack of desire. Like, it typically doesn't end well for the team and also the coach. Like, hello, Cincinnati. Like, let's just, you know, I mean, this is a very worrying pattern. And I think when a coach starts to be public about his sentiments about his team and their lack of effort or lack of desire, that's such a huge red flag. He's clearly lost the locker room. And I feel like a change needs to happen.
Yeah, in
you
some
know?
Way. No
like,
doubt about it.
Well, there's a difference between saying that, like, what Anthony Hudson's saying, that you have a bottom team and a bottom and there's just no quality, than questioning the effort, which I think a coach should be allowed to do, especially if it's not there.
And a team can't look at themselves after losing a series to a lower division team,
right,
where they're out in the standings and say, he's wrong.
Right. So I worry we're just going to go too far where it's like, if you come out against the players, like, you're out. That's not, I don't think that coach, you have to be able, that's what a coach is for. He has to be able to hold this team accountable.
What does it say, though, as a player when that happens publicly? Right, because I think that's the distinction.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think you look at the standings and say it's probably been having privately for the last
you're probably right.
Eight weeks.
They've got five straight losses in MLS. Yeah.
And he's looking to push a different button. But to go to the player comment, maybe it was a little too much in that he had to literally turn over an entire roster, which is not easy to do on the fly. It's not easy to do to get cohesion. You're also not going to get all the guys you want on the first run. So this probably isn't exactly the group he was hoping to have come into the season, and it was toxic last year. So he had no choice but to change it. And then the guys who come back, what's their mindset? What's the environment already in the club? It's not going to be easy, but I just hope that no one in Vancouver or fans around the league are putting this on Mark Dos Santos yet. I don't think that's where the conversation should be. I think he's has the right ideas. I know his background. I've spoken soccer with him. Like, I think he's a good coach. It's just, how much time are they going to give him? And also, what's the resources that he gets to get it done?
There is, to your point, a little bit of consternation, Susanna, up there among the fans, up there among just about where the club is right now.
Yeah.
And we'll see, man. Favorite storylines of 2019.
Wait, can we shout out Cavalry? It's the first
Canadian team to knock out an MLS
team. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Sergio Camargo playing on that team,
on
Julian Boucher.
There.
It's like a former MLS dudes, and now they'll play Montreal. Who actually only squeaked by.
And by the way, Piatti's back and he scored a goal.
Boom. Hey. But they only squeaked by on the Forge. So it wasn't an easy run for them. So congrats to the Canadian Premier League this quickly to get that type of production and put out that competition.
We're going to be in Orlando next week for both shows. So we'll look ahead at that time. We'll probably do some looking back, but mostly saying, okay, what's the rest of the season look like? What are you excited for? So let's look back right now. Your favorite storyline, I've asked you to rack your brains and come up with that for 2019 so far. Who would like to go first?
I bet you I can tell you what Caitlin said.
Well, let's just get one out of the way. I mean, I know everybody is going to play the cool guy and probably pick something really obscure, but the story of the first half of the season is LAFC. I mean, they've been the runaway best team in MLS, have a chance to be one of the best MLS teams ever. The way, not just the results that they're playing, but the style of play, the way that they're able to orchestrate this team, how beautiful it is to watch on the field. And then, of course, above it all, Carlos Vela, who's been tremendous. I don't think we've really seen a player. We've seen some amazing moments. Almiron, Chivinco, he's right up there in that list of top players over the last 5, 6, 7 years in MLS. So I know everybody's going to maybe go a little bit deeper,
no.
But it should just be said.
We talk about it all the time. But it's a great story because it is a plan that's come to fruition. And that's where we go back to Austin FC and Josh Wolf, because you have to have that plan. You have to have the personnel to execute the plan. And then you have to put the resources in to do it. And LAFC have done all that. And I think like Atlanta, like Seattle before them, like a number of teams in this league, they've driven everybody to a different level to where when Austin comes in, or you know, Miami or Nashville, they have to look at that and say, if we want to compete at the very top, that's how we have to do it.
I will be interested to see after this loss to the Galaxy and after looking at what Atlanta did. And I know you guys just sort of touched on it last ETR.
Feels like a game.
Listen, Caitlin, we just take it one show at a time. We're just trying to stay in the moment. So yeah.
And also the loss to Portland, if they will change their style as they get closer to the playoffs and take something a little bit more pragmatic as far as a sit back, be a little bit more compact and try and hit on the break. They have some good pieces to be able to play that style of football. It's just, will they adapt? Are they willing to sacrifice some of their ideals to do it in a one-off format in the playoffs?
Just want to throw something out there that just popped up on Twitter. I don't know if it's real or fake or what it is.
This sounds reliable.
A Peñarol, Uruguay, U20 winger that is being rumored to be linked a DP deal with LAFC. Brian Rodriguez. Brian Rodriguez. He's scored a good number of goals for the Uruguayan U-20s. He's 19. So we'll see if that's actually what's going down there. Susanna, what is your storyline of 2019 so far?
Let's keep it out west. We'll keep it out west with the San Jose Earthquakes.
Yes, man. Pro fan.
Yes.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. It is a good one because they started out this season 4 losses in a row. And since then, they've only lost 3 times. And it's I love the fact that this has been like just a team effort. You know, it hasn't been one guy. I do. You pointed this out too. Tommy Thompson had that moment where he like looked into camera and was like, "We're better than this. We've got to do better. Like,
that's
like we're
a,
gonna
that's like a movie moment. That's something
we're gonna come
see,
together.
Yeah,
yes,
like
you
a
know,
Disney movie.
100%.
That's kind of corny, but
and since then they've completely turned it around. But you know, when you have guys like Jackson Ewell and Vaco and Danny Huson scoring goals and Chris Wondolowski, you know, finally breaking the record and he's got 9 goals on the season too. I think it's that's a team. It's a unit that really believes in themselves right now. And I love Mateus Almeida so much. If Bob Bradley was not going to run away with this coach of the year thing, for me, like what he has been able to do and turn this team around so quickly, you know, when he came in and he kind of said that this was going to be a project, this wasn't going to pay dividends immediately, but it's already paying off. And I'm so impressed with him. I'm impressed with the group. I also their social media right now is just straight fire. Like I think they have gotten some swagger. Like they've won 3 games in a row. They are feeling themselves. They're the Cali Classico, and they're burning Zlatan. They're burning Austin. Like all of Galaxy.
I saw Pablo Maher tweet roast me at San Jose Earthquake. just come after.
Well,
me.
Well, you know, Mateus Almeida probably waded into the social media room, and he's just like, brothers and sisters, come
it's
with
so
me.
Good.
You are one of the group. Follow me through this brick wall. And they're just like, profe, we will do whatever it takes.
It's
and
so good.
Mateus Almeida, by the way, he is an extremely intelligent soccer mind. But I also am, like you, obsessed with their social media. And he's like a king at translation technique.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
He speaks in like sound
so
bites.
True.
And the translator jumps in and it's like, there's no stop of the flow. It's like you actually get to hear what he's saying. And then every single time he says, I had lots of options, but I saw this group. I knew they had more in them, so I came. And if I'm one of them, that's where I'm just like, oh, yes,
I know.
Let's go.
I know. I love him. I think the players love him. I'm so on board the San Jose Quakes train right
now. I'm going to jump on board, and we'll get to yours in a second, your storyline. The New England Revolution.
Yes.
They giveth and they taketh away. It's like, you know, yin and yang. It was bad. It was really bad. You were talking about coaches calling out their players. Brad Friedel was one of them. They were down in the dumps. Charlie Davies would come in here to the studio to do extra time. He'd be like, oh, boy, it's not great right now.
What are the Revs?
Yeah.
That's my Charlie Davies.
Now,
which sounds like me, but it's Charlie.
Now Charlie comes in, and he's like the usual Charlie. Like, lots of
he's
swagger,
so smiley.
Chest puffed out. Just like, Teal Bunbury, my boy. Getting the job done. New lease on life. All it took was Bruce Arena. Some harsh truths, same players, Juan Agudelo in the 8. Like, there's just so many good stories. Carlos Gil being one of the best players in this league, maybe one of the best number 10s, chance creators in this league. They go out and spend money. Gustavo Bo, I mean, that's a huge signing for a team that had not really made that profile of signings. They've got the new training facility, maybe a new stadium at some point. Like, it's been an up and down crazy year with a lot of weird, different stories and drama, and I like it, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Bruce Arena, I think, has coached in MLS 13 or 14 years altogether. You know how many times he's missed the playoffs?
Zero.
Twice.
I believe one time.
The first year with LA?
Yeah first year with LA, and he joined them in August.
I was trying to figure out if...
Yep. Did he make it with the Red Bulls?
Yeah, that's what I was... That's
was
why
he coach of the Red Bulls?
Oh, did he make it the whole season?
I don't know. We should probably know this.
Yeah, we should. What's your storyline here?
I just try to use I just to
Yeah, I know.
I just have to say, when I was talking to people from Club Tijuana, they were like, could not speak highly of Gustavo Bo and the professional
Well, hold on. You are going to roast me off the top of this show, and then you're going to say highlier?
Yeah, that's true.
Act like I'm going to let that just,
I was in the middle
just
of,
slide right under.
I was in the middle of Googling Bruce Arena. So
you guys good?
It doesn't count. Who, me and Weeby?
Yeah, we're good.
Never, dude. Never.
We're always good.
Well, you guys took all the good ones and the obvious ones. So I'm going to say Minnesota United.
Okay.
That's a cool one.
We know how special this fan base is for many years, not just Major League Soccer. They've supported this club through thick and thin, and right now it's thick. So that's really exciting. The stadium is beautiful. I'm going to go out there for the first time for the Open Cup semifinal, which I'm very excited about. The stadium's beautiful. They got that open. And then now they're a playoff team right now. So from all points of what you wanted, off the field, on the field, they're getting everything they want. And then when you look at players right now, Mason Toy is one of the stories of Major League Soccer. Sorry, I'm wavering here on the end. So that's been awesome to see. Hot boy Kevin Molino's back in the fold.
Oh, he's not, though. I think he's out for this weekend.
But, like, back a lot. Right, he's playing soccer. Mm-hmm. You got Ikapara, who's one of the best characters in Major League Soccer, one of the best guys. You've got Miguel Ibarra, who lost his brother in arms, his superhero, but he's still doing it for what is now basically his hometown club. So there's a lot of cool storylines around Minnesota, and their games are pretty wacky as well. Like, they're not super simple and straightforward, which is fun to watch, which is interesting. And with the Matias Almeida thing, Bruce Arena, what's fun is for Major League Soccer, it seems like there's 25 different ways to be successful in Major League Soccer. You just have to find the one that fits for you. And I think Minnesota has found something a little unique of bringing in veterans from inside of MLS and then finding guys maybe under the radar, like in the draft.
Yeah, going right
Chase
back to
Gasper
league.
Starting.
Mm-hmm. Going back to League Two for their new left back as well.
Yeah.
Run one in there.
Hassani Dotson starting all over the field.
Scoring crazy goals.
Yeah. So it's been fun.
The nice thing is when we had this sort of mental exercise, like, so I feel bad because we're not saying the Union, who have been an absolutely incredible story. Like,
I blame Kalen.
Every team has a story like this. Brian White
Bobby's
over BWP.
Germany.
Bobby's in Germany. Like,
this is such a good point.
Eating vegan wiener schnitzel.
We saw a quick photo of him. It looked like he was Jason Bourne. He had like facial hair and his
just a black out. Just a black cap.
Yeah.
No insignia on it at all.
Oh, I just wear denim jackets and a black cap.
Just like comes
just buy
on
that
Skype.
Everywhere.
He's throwing karate chops.
Paxton Pomacle. For player-wise, just
Ebert
his emergence.
In New York City, actually, like, riding the ship. I mean, up and down this entire league right now. I said it on the last show. The level of stories.
Nani? Did we get Nani?
Nani. Nani in there.
Already Brian Fernandez.
We haven't talked Pity Martinez.
Yeah, well, those are less positive stories.
Less positive, but it's still interesting.
It's a big story,
It's still a big story. Yeah. Atlanta at LAFC on Friday night this week. ESPN, 10 p.m. Eastern. Sporting Kansas City, New York City. Before that, if you want to fill up your Friday night. What are you looking forward to in that game before we get to the mailbag? And
can that guy get confidence? Like, it is very simple, but I just think when you look at PT Martinez, he isn't the person he wants to be right now because he's playing stressed, because he's nervous. And so I don't think he's the personality in the locker room that he will be, and I don't think he's the player on the field that he will be. I watched this guy in South America and thought he was going to be the greatest Major League Soccer player of all time from where he was coming into the league in terms of where he's at in his career, his age, what he can do. And we haven't seen that player. That player's still there. You don't do it at River Plate in the Copa Libertadores final, and then 4 months later, you're not that same player. And as great a league as Major League Soccer is, it's not a higher level than what he was doing it at before. It's not more physical. It's not harder. He just hasn't found his feet yet, and he's a guy who hasn't moved clubs before. So he's moving countries. It hasn't gone right. But I think most of it is mental. And if they can get that right and get that flowing, all of a sudden, it's a different team.
It's August.
Head case.
It's about, it's almost, it's August.
Head case.
I'm not.
Took Sebastian Blanco a year and a half. And now we're all on board with him.
All right. Well, maybe it'll be a year and a half. I'll check back in.
That's an expensive, expensive year and a half. Carlos Vela, you always want to watch him when you have that opportunity. Bob Bradley's LAFC trying to stay atop Supporter Shield, keep it rolling against surging Atlanta United. They are second in the Eastern Conference. 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN on Friday night. Of course, the full slate, all the coverage, MLSsoccer.com. Set your fantasy team. Let's get to the mailbag before we dig in here because I know we're running out of time. I just need to put a PSA out there. I said it. We're going to be in Orlando next week for the All-Star Game presented by Target. Atletico Madrid will be there. We have a digital HQ. It is set up, ready to roll. It is at the Ace Cafe in Orlando. We will be taping there. Extra Time driven by Continental on Monday and on Thursday. And if you don't have a ticket for the actual game.
We won't be there on Thursday.
Oh, that's true.
We'll be there Wednesday night.
Well, it will be Thursday because it'll be so early in the morning.
Around the All-Star game.
Yes. Anyway, you're getting two episodes. There will not be a hotel room episode this year. I guess we've graduated from that now.
Can I plug the skills challenge?
You
because
can.
I know that MLS would love me to plug the skills challenge, which I will be a part of. I'll be doing sidelines for that. So this is the first time they're doing the skills challenge. This is on Tuesday night, ahead the day before the All-Star game, 8 p.m. It is literally being streamed everywhere.
Oh, also tickets are still available.
Yes, tickets are still available.
I don't know how much they are.
It's very
affordable.
Very affordable. ESPN Wide World of Sports in Orlando. So please come hang. But we've got incredible guys.
The quality
is going to be.
João
Félix is going to be.
I think he got hurt.
He got hurt?
He got hurt.
Oh,
so
no.
TBD on that
okay,
one. Will he be a scratch for the skills challenge?
Rooney.
What are you most excited about?
Jonathan Dos Santos.
I did a version of this against Kiel. I just want to say I beat Stephen Kiel. And it wasn't the exact skills challenge, but it was a version
of it. I love Kiel as a player. I'm not sure he's skillful.
He used to play at number 10 in college at Wake.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, yeah.
I just found that out too.
Now, that's where the hair comes from.
Really
he's like,
did not,
they call him
not
the
is not an extra
Blanco
time
Valderrama.
I respect all of your skills and ability, Stephen.
In North Carolina.
I think like the thing that's going to be so fun to watch is the banter that happens
exactly.
between these guys. And I think there's so many Spanish speakers. And so like, I don't know any Spanish, but I want to hear them like going at it in their native tongue and just like, you know.
I want to see Nani Rooney. What's the side bet between those two?
You think the side bet comes at skills challenge or on the golf course?
I think put some money on it. Come on, let's put something on it. I think there's got to be something. Nice dinner in Orlando. I don't know where the nicest place is, but I'm sure Nani knows by
there's
now.
There's a really good, what is it, Dave? What? Hibachi spot, right?
Ooh.
I'd never had hibachi before in
my
life.
I love hibachi.
And when we went down for Combine, they made me go. And then we went for Combine
it's
again this
fun.
Year, and they made me go to the
yeah,
same
yeah.
How fun is it, though?
It's fine.
It's great.
No,
it's
you know
fine.
What?
They cook it right in front of you.
Actually, that's
do
good
the tricks.
Food.
Is that the thing where they, like, spray the thing
yeah.
in your mouth?
Yeah, yeah. And then they flip the shrimp tails into their chef's
What's
hat.
What's the famous one?
Benihana.
Benihana.
Yeah.
I almost said Port Washington.
I would watch a movement where you just took a bunch of MLS stars to...
It's great.
Strip malls.
It's great.
Exactly. Oh, also, by the way, there is on Tuesday stuff for you to do. You get a homegrown ticket with your skills challenge.
Yes.
Double header.
So that's a good deal for you right there. As well, if you don't have a ticket for the game and you want to hang out with, I don't know, me, Charlie Davies, Bobby Warshaw, Matt Doyle, you can come to the Ace Cafe in Orlando to watch our Matchday Central pre- and post-game shows. The doors open on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, I'm just
pre-game
finding out I didn't
7.
Make the call up for that.
Weeby's just using the media to motivate you.
Ah, I thought we reached out via your agent, but...
Hey, I guess...
You know.
Next, where's All-Star next year, I guess?
Waiting on the paperwork here to make sure the trade
here
goes.
Here, All-Star next year might be
awkward.
An orca event out in the water in Ooh, Seattle.
Awkward.
Like but there's probably...
There is a sailboat
Disney.
Event that
yeah,
I will be...
I'll be at Disney. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be yachting.
Good for you.
I know, right?
Cheers. All right, what's in the mailbag?
The Admiral out in Seattle wants to say, can the adults in the room do me a favor and make sure no shiny objects enter Weeby's field division? He might confuse it for the next great rivalry in MLS.
Oh, God.
I can't believe he picked El Trafico over Cascadia Cup.
I mean, come on. Personal opinion.
What do you guys say? What's the best rivalry in Major League
Soccer?
Of
it. So, like, I just personally right now.
OG. I'm OG. I go Cascadia. Seattle.
Are you just
Portland.
Trying to make me look bad?
No, I like history, you know? I like things that are seeped in history. It's not to say I don't enjoy El Trafico.
Okay.
I love it, but I just think if we're talking best.
I know yeah. I came at Zlatan a little bit earlier. I didn't come at him, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I thought it was a red card.
No
problem.
But we're okay, Zlatan. I wasn't coming at you at all.
I feel like if he had only done what he has done in these El Traficos, he would be worth that signing. For what he's done just in those matches, I think there's a real statement to be said. LAFC has come into Los Angeles, and I mean, it's been amazing to see what they do with the culture, the fans, all that. And the Galaxy, you were checking your shoulder to be like, oh goodness, what's coming up the road? And for him to be able to have the performances, we were at the first one, we see it again. Just what he's done in those matches, I mean,
worth
to me, that I really think that storyline, this is last year was Atlanta, this year to me is LA. So I'm sort of trying to back you here.
Yeah, look, I just want to say that I appreciate and love history.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, you know, my rankings change at all times. This isn't like a forever thing. And I'm going to be in Portland on August 18th for the game against Atlanta United. So by that time, I'll have worked myself around to Cascadia being number one.
Oh,
so don't even talk to me in the stands.
I can't imagine you going somewhere and therefore being convinced by the experience you had. It would shock me to see you.
You know what I want you to know? I want you to
drink
know
the Kool-Aid.
That FC Cincinnati, once I left Cincinnati,
yeah,
they nosedived. When I was there, they were winning. When I wasn't there, they were not winning.
You better get back there.
Yeah,
you better go back.
Come back, Weeby.
Yes.
Andrew Weeby, undefeated.
Hell is Real is coming very soon, so we'll see if they can hold up against Columbus. Anything else before we get out of here?
Lot of RSL angst. Surprising amount of RSL angst. Some of it for the way
they played. Really? Why? Because they're right where you would kind of think they might be, which is right on the playoff line.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the question is why they always sit there and why over the last 3 years. No, but seriously, right? 2 years ago, they made the late run. They just miss out. Last year, they make a run into the playoffs. This year, they're similar. And so one of the main questions we got was, is it the players? Is it the coach? What's going on in RSL?
I think they're doing pretty well. I mean, they're running out like four-man back lines of all homegrown kids and doing it a little bit of a different way than anybody else and still competing in the Western Conference. Sure, would you like to be in a more secure place? Yeah, but now is money time. You got like, what, 12, 13 games? Get in the playoffs and see what happens. You beat LAFC last year. Anything can happen. When you won MLS Cup, you did so from a really low seed. All right, that's it for
Weeby,
us.
Weeby says chill. His name is Will.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to give him that.
Okay, cool. We're getting out of here. The funnest, most fun squad.
Go watch some orcas.
Funnest. Orcas.
Yeah, go watch the movement. It's orca time for you. Kaylin Carr, David Goss, Susanna Collins. I'm Andrew Weeby. We'll see you, I guess, in Orlando on Monday. Have a good weekend. We'll be right back.